See, this morning we continue our series called Future Matters. It's our journey through the book of Revelation. This book is amazing. I mean, it just has me going so deep with the Lord. I mean, it is sparking things within me, and it's revealing revelation. It's revealing so much to me about God and His character. It's blowing my mind. Because this book primarily, again, is about, number one, revealing Jesus Christ to us. Revealing the man, the character of Jesus Christ. This is the revelation of Jesus. When we understand that, when we read this book from that perspective, that we're going to get to know Jesus more, I mean, it changes the whole paradigm. It changes our whole understanding and what we're able to receive when we go at it from that perspective. Jesus, I want more of you. Reveal yourself to me. The second thing that this book does, though, is it unveils the plans that God has for the church in the end times. And the plans are exciting. Very exciting. This book, as we've talked about, is a love story. This is a love story. And I know that shocks people's minds when you hear that. The book of Revelation is a love story. It's a love story. Have you been studying it the past month with us? It's a love story. And we're going to continue to see that love of God displayed this morning. Driven by love, Jesus the bridegroom, you see, He's coming back for His bride. Because He loves the church. We've got to understand the heart of God. We've got to have a proper perspective so that we understand how much God loves us. This morning we move into the subject in the book of Revelation that makes a whole lot of people uneasy. In fact, a lot of people don't even read the book of Revelation because of what we're going to talk about this morning. And I can't wait to talk about it. It's exciting. This morning we're going to talk about the judgments of God. The great tribulation that's going to be released upon the earth in the end times. And I'm excited! Come on, I really am! As I was humbly and fearfully seeking the Lord on this whole topic, oh God, how do I talk about the great tribulation? He just was like, whoa, what do you mean? This is one of the most exciting things that I have. He changed my thinking on it. This is going to be a fun morning. See, as we discussed last week in chapter 5, Jesus is taking the scroll. And what is the scroll? The scroll represents the title deed to the earth. The right to come back and to own the earth and to rule the earth. So Jesus, as we discussed in chapter 5, He's going to take the scroll. And then He's going to break the seals on the scroll. And remember, the seals represent the judgments of God being released, being broken, being released over the earth so that the scroll can be taken and then opened and executed. And Jesus is going to do this in perfect mercy and in perfect justice. He's going to do it perfectly. So let's get a proper perspective before we move forward. I'm going to make this statement. The judgments are good. The judgments that are coming in the end times are good. They are good. A lot of you are looking at me kind of strange right now. What? All the destruction? All the death? All that big apocalyptic scene that we read about, that's good. How in the world can that be good? It's good because it's a powerful display of God's love for His church, for His children. God will not allow sin and brokenness and disease and death and the devil to mess with His children forever. He's not going to allow that to happen forever. Enough is enough. There is a day when God is going to say, enough is enough. In fact, He's already proclaimed that there is that day. Enough is enough. And He is going to roll out the most extreme makeover that anyone's ever seen on this earth because of His love. Enough is enough. I want to just shoot from the hip here, a little sidetrack for a moment. I rented the movie Taken. Liam Neeson is in that movie. We threw it in our ClearPlay player, and I watched it with my sons because I wanted to teach them a little something about the heart of a father and about how messed up this world really is. So we put it in our ClearPlay player, which I recommend to anybody, because you can't watch even a PG-13 movie much anymore without running it through something that's going to remove the filth and the language and those images and things like that. So we put it in there. We watch this movie. And it's about this man's 17-year-old daughter who gets taken into slavery. I won't go into all the details on that. But it's a mess. It's horrible. And it's going on around the world right now. But the thing that catches my eye in the movie was the father's reaction to this. How far he went to get his daughter back. To get her out of that evil. To remove her from that evil. He was not going to allow his child to end up that way, to spend the rest of her life in that kind of existence. And he fought for her. And he removed every evil that was in his way and that was affecting her life. He got rid of every evil. And he did it violently. And completely. He didn't mess around. Because of his amazing love for his daughter. Jesus is coming back. And because of his amazing love, he's going to do an extreme makeover. Because he doesn't want us, the children of God, in slavery to evil, being infected and affected by evil like this for eternity. This is not what he has created us for. It says in Revelation 21:4, that song that was just quote unquote accidentally playing. Again, we didn't plan on that song playing right before I preached that was singing the words of Revelation 21:4, but by God's grace it was. I believe He was preparing our hearts and minds even for the message. It says in Revelation 21:4 that He, meaning the Lord, will wipe away every tear from their eyes. This is the people of God, His children. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. For the old order of things has passed away. Praise God! Praise God! We love this verse. I love preaching this verse and this whole concept at funerals. We love it! No more pain, no more suffering, no more death. We long for that day. The church cries out for that day. We pray for it. We sing for it. We want it for our children. Yes! We can't wait for it. It's a verse of hope, of great expectation. But it's the judgments. It's the great time of tribulation that makes this verse a reality. Death and sin must be removed. So as God's people who love Him, we should do a couple things. Number one, when we throw these up on the screen. First thing we need to do is we need to welcome the return of Jesus. And I'm like, why do we have to say that to one another? But it seems like we do sometimes. I feel like the church in general, the overall church, you know, they have this kind of, yeah, we want Jesus to come back, but they don't cry out for it. They kind of want it, but they really don't want it. They want to finish up some things. It drives me crazy. It confuses me when I hear, you know, young ladies and young men are like, yeah, I want Jesus to come back, but first I want to get married and have children. Experience all that. I'm like, okay, getting married and having kids is awesome and it's wonderful, but Jesus coming back? I mean, Jesus returning to this earth? and making all things new, and you being face to face with Jesus?
Hallelujah.
I mean, okay. We need to be a people who welcome the return of Jesus. I mean, cry out for it. Not just kind of in the back of our conscience, subconsciously, yeah, we that's going to be great. But no, I mean, we should want it. It should be in our prayers daily. You pray for your children daily. You pray for your daily bread daily. Pray for the return of Jesus daily. Long for Him. He wants a bride that's longing for Him. That's longing for Him. The second thing we need to do as a church is we need to see the judgments as good and as necessary. The judgments of God are good. And they're necessary. And I know this is a big time paradigm shift for most of us. It really is, but hang with me here. Hang with the Word of God and the heart of God. And let's let our whole perspective be turned on end. Let's let our minds and our hearts be changed about how we view the plans that God has for the future. Jesus is going to clean house. And He's going to carry His bride, that's us, the church, He's going to carry His bride across the threshold into that clean house. Brand new house, a place where there's no sin. Everything's perfect. A place where there's no scorpions, no mold, no dust, no clutter, no disease, no sadness, no brokenness, no death. He's not going to bring His bride into a home that's broken and infected and infested. He's not going to do that. He's a good bridegroom. He's perfect, He's righteous, and He's holy. So He is going to clean house, and He's going to grab His bride and just sweep her off of her feet and carry her across the threshold and say, honey, we're home. We're home. And we get to spend eternity with one another here in our home. Nothing is going to interfere with His love. A quick talk about this time of tribulation. This time of tribulation is the period just prior to Jesus' return to the earth. And if you want to write down these passages of Scripture, just to detail that in a little more, you can go to Daniel 12:1, Matthew 24:21, Mark 13:19-27. Those will discuss and give you an idea of what that great tribulation period is. And also in this time frame, God is going to release judgments on the Antichrist kingdom. I mean, judgments like we've never seen before. Intense ones, the ones that we read about in Revelation 6, 8 through 9, and in chapter 16. We're going to talk about them briefly. But if you want to read about the details of them, go to the book of Revelation. And I want to point something out. These unprecedented judgments are on the Antichrist kingdom. So let's make sure we have a good understanding and a proper understanding of this. He is not coming to judge the church. He's not coming to release pain and suffering on the people of God. That's not His intention. He's coming to remove everything that hinders love and hinders His ability to love His bride. Everything that's been coming against His people. So He's releasing these judgments on the Antichrist kingdom to crush His head. That's what He's doing. That's why the judgments are coming. And it appears like it's going to be about a 3.5-year period. You go to Daniel 7:25, chapter 12, verse 7. You can go to Revelation 11, Revelation 12, 14, 13. It's all over the place. Do the calculation. I think it says it's 1,260 days in many places. Divide that by 3.5, you get like 360 days. So it's right around 3.5 years that we're looking at, that time period. And as we study this important topic of the judgments in this critical time in redemptive history, we've got to remember something. So let's lay a little more foundation to understand the heart of God. Because again, I know many of you are probably still thinking, oh, it just doesn't seem fair. It just seems too harsh. Why would God do this? We got to remember something, that Jesus has been very patient with mankind. He's been extremely patient with mankind. He's not flying off the handle here. He's not flying off the handle in anger. He's not being hasty as he judges the world and as he releases the judgments and the great tribulation. He's not. He wants to give everyone the opportunity to respond to him, and he's been so patient, so long suffering in all of this. In fact, let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 9 through 13. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 9 through 13. Apostle Peter says, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish." Do you hear the heart of God there? He doesn't want anyone to perish. But he wants everyone to come to repentance. Peter is speaking these words in the context of the second coming of Jesus. He's speaking these words in the context of the judgments and the great tribulation. We continue in verse 10 of 2 Peter 3. It says, "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief." We heard very similar language from the mouth of Jesus in Revelation 2 and 3. When he's talking to the churches. "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare." Again, speaking of the judgments and the great tribulation. Jesus removing all evil. Let's have a proper perspective on this, okay? This is removing evil. That's why this stuff is happening. To remove evil from the earth. To remove those things that have been coming against his children. Like Liam Neeson did in that movie. Verse 11. "Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming." So what that's saying is that here's what's going to happen. He doesn't say stress out, be all worried about it. He says, no, just live for God. Just be the people of God that you're created to be, that you were redeemed to be. Just live for God, love Him, and love other people. And look forward to Jesus coming back as we speed His coming. It's an interesting topic. We're not going to get into the details of that right now. Maybe some other week in the future here. "That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with His promise, we are looking forward again to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness." That's incredible. That's awesome. But let's look back at this. Jesus has been patient with the world. And people mock God for His patience. I mean, think about it. People mock God all the time. "Oh, He said He's coming back, and He hasn't. It's been 2,000 years. What's wrong with Him? God's a liar. He's not really coming back. Church, what are you guys talking about? Why are you guys talking about the return of Jesus? It's been 2,000 years. He's not coming back. He's forgot about you. Jesus is a liar. It's not going to really happen." And they're mocking the very God that is having mercy and patience on them. He could have done all this 1,900 years ago. Perfectly done it. He's being patient with mankind because He wants to give everyone an opportunity to come to repentance and know Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior, their Redeemer, their Rescuer. But He is coming back. He is coming back. And He will make all things new. It's going to happen, and it's going to be good. So God, you see, He's demonstrated this side of His character in the past. This isn't something new. This isn't a new characteristic of God that He would remove evil, those things that are attacking His children, His people. That's not a new characteristic. What's going to happen in the end times has happened before. We can think of with Noah. In the days of Noah, He called Noah, the only righteous person he could find on the earth. And he said, this is what's going to happen. I've got to just start over, but you're righteous, so I'm going to let you live, and you're going to get to be the one who starts it all over. So for 100 years, Noah is building the ark. And he's preaching to the people while he's building the ark. Repent, repent, repent. This is what God's going to do. Repent, join me. Give your lives to the Lord. Live for Him. Because this is what's going to happen. And of course we know the story that nobody did. So it was Noah and his family and a bunch of animals that got on the ark and were saved. But the Lord purged the earth of evil at that time. He came to that place where enough was enough. And then we see another example of this. Check this out. The plagues that were unleashed on the Egyptians were really a prophetic picture or a foreshadowing of the judgments that are going to be unleashed at the end of the age. You see, God has done it before, and He's going to do it again. God decided that it was time to free His people from Egyptian slavery. That enough was enough. That the way that they were being treated, the evil that was being done to them, that was enough. He'd had it. And He had so much more for His children that He wanted for them. It was time to deal with evil. And so He took action, didn't He? The Lord took action. And He freed His people. And He removed evil from their lives. And it was dramatic. And it was painful for those who were against God and against His people. But the Lord did it for the love of His people. Let me point this out too. You want to see how good God is, even as He's unleashing plagues on the Egyptians, the people that are enslaving and whipping and holding back the people of God? You want to see how good He is? He unleashed one plague at a time, didn't He? He didn't just come and go all of them at once and wiped out the firstborn all at once. No, He did. He stepped it up. He said, okay, here, I want to get your attention. You're not listening. So here's a plague. Now, do you want to repent? Do you want to turn from evil? Do you want to give your life to the living God now? Or not? No, they didn't. So another plague. So on and so forth. So also, in the end times, many are not going to respond in repentance to the judgments of God. Because again, He releases them one at a time. Still showing His patience and mercy and His desire for people to turn and to repent and to come to Him. It says in Revelation 9, verses 20 and 21, it says, the rest of mankind that were not killed by these plagues still did not repent of the work of their hands. They did not stop worshiping demons and idols of gold, silver, bronze, stone, and wood, idols that cannot see or hear or walk. Nor did they repent of their murders, their magic, arts, their sexual immorality, or their thefts. But let me say this, some will repent. But some will, praise God. Even some of the Egyptians repented. If you go to Numbers chapter 11, verse 4, it speaks of foreigners coming out of Egypt with the children of God. Egyptians, foreigners, that had given their lives to the Lord, following the living God. Joining the people of God. That's going to happen in the end days too, in the end times. There will be people who repent. Maybe not a whole lot, but there will be some that do repent. And in God's mercy, He will welcome them into His family. Praise God. He is so good. He doesn't have to do it that way. Again, He could just wipe it all out. No more chances. No second, third, fourth, fifth, 21st chance. He could just say, enough's enough, I've had it, boom, gone, done. So in Egypt, the Lord, because of His great love, He unleashed 10 plagues in order to bring freedom to His people. And do you see that? Do you see that it's the love of God? That's why the plagues were unleashed on those who were against God and against His people, who were practicing evil towards His children. It was the love of God for His people. That's why the plagues were unleashed in Egypt that brought freedom to the people of God. And at the end of the age, the Lord, again, because of His great love for His children, will unleash 21 plagues or 21 judgments in order to bring the fullness of His kingdom. to remove evil from the earth and to give opportunity for those who are far from Him to repent and to still come to Him. In Revelation 6, we see that there are seven seals. These represent seven judgments. In Revelation chapters 8 through 11, you can read about seven trumpets, which are seven more judgments that are coming on the earth in order to purge evil, to deal with evil. In Revelation 16, we see seven bowls, seven more judgments, 21 in all, that are going to be unleashed on the earth in the end times, in this time of great tribulation. Again, for the purpose of purging the earth of evil, so that there is a beautiful, clean house for the bridegroom, Jesus Christ, to live with His bride, the church. Just like in Egypt, these judgments are literal. They're not figurative. Too many people try to deal with this whole judgments and tribulation thing and the book of Revelation in general, and they say, oh, it's just figurative. You know, everything's just figurative. It's not real. No, it's real. Just like the plagues in Egypt were real. The judgments at the end of the age are going to be real. And the world is going to really experience this. And evil is really going to be purged and removed from the earth so that Jesus will be back here living with us and that we will experience Revelation 21:4. So when it says a fourth of the population will perish, it means 25% are going to die. When it says that a third of the earth is going to be burned up, it means that 33.333333333% of the earth is going to be scorched. But also, just like He did in Egypt, Jesus is going to release these judgments in perfect justice, with perfect justice and mercy and care. Again, He's not just an angry God flying off the handle. He's doing this from a place of perfect mercy and justice. Just as we as parents who are all, I know in this room, perfect, right? And every time that we administer discipline to our children, we do it perfectly, but that's our heart, isn't it? Sometimes we don't execute it perfectly. But even us, as just mere men and women, as mothers and fathers, we desire to administer discipline and to deal with things that are coming against our children. We want to do it in a loving, just, caring way, don't we? How much more God, who is perfectly righteous, perfectly holy, how much more can we trust Him with dealing with all of this in exactly the right way? He is so good. He's so good. He's going to do it right. It's going to be perfect, and all of His people will say, it was just and it was right. God, You're amazing how You can take something that looks so difficult and impossible to get good out of it, but yet, in the end, wow, it was beautiful. All this destruction, and in the end, all of God's people will say, it was beautiful. It was perfect. It was lovely. So driven by love for His bride, He's going to do this and remove everything that hinders love, everything that's come against His bride, the church. He's going to get rid of it. I kind of got the sound effects going this morning, don't I? Anyway. So, this is the great tribulation, the great and terrible day of the Lord, great for the people of God, terrible for those who continue to reject Him, but great, great, great and beautiful for the church. Perfect justice from a perfect and merciful God. So we look at what the Lord did to free the Israelites from Egypt and we say that it was just and it was right, don't we? When you read about that, about the Lord bringing the Israelites out of captivity from Egypt, as a people of God who understand the heart of God, don't you read that and go, wow, that was just, that was right, that was good. God did the right thing, right? The same thing in the end times. the church will declare that, God, you are just and you are right. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's going to do it perfectly. You see, the Lord is going to clean up the house. He's going to renovate all things. He is. He's going to renovate all things. I talked to you a little bit about last week about how I used to, 10 years ago, I'd buy foreclosed properties and they would be a wreck. They'd be a mess. I mean, I didn't even want to go in there. I'd put on a mask and gloves and long sleeves and long pants. And I mean, it was crazy. I probably should have got a hazmat suit for some of the places. And I'd go in there and we'd clean that place out. I didn't even want somebody I didn't know to live there. I mean, it was that bad. Jesus loves His bride. And He's going to clean house. He's going to renovate all things. How many of you have remodeled your house in some way? Maybe a room or some rooms, a kitchen, a bathroom, something in your house. Even just painted. We just painted a couple rooms in our house about a year ago. Whew. Just even that. Renovating, right? Remodeling. It gets messy, doesn't it? When you're in the middle of a remodeling project, I mean, you're ripping things out. You might not be able to use the sink in that room for a while. It gets dusty. It's hard to live around all of that, isn't it? It's hard to live through all the mess, all the racket, all the dust. It's difficult. It's not a lot of fun. But the end is beautiful. You know what's coming. You know why it's happening. And it's all worth it. I think that's a great picture and analogy of the end times. It's going to be messy. Read about it. We're not going to go through it in detail, but read about it. It's going to be messy. There's going to be a lot of things whipped out and removed. There's going to be a lot of dust and a lot of other things flying all around. But there's a purpose. Beyond any home remodeling plan, there is such an amazing, high, incredible purpose that God has for it all that the end result just, it's like everything that the world has to go through to get to that place, it's going to be worth it. It's going to be worth it all. And God's renovation of this world is going to redefine Extreme Makeover. How many of you have seen that show? Yeah? Extreme Home Makeover. Our family loves it. We like it. Because it's an uplifting show. And you know what's interesting about this show? At the very beginning of the show, what is the first thing they do? They tear down the old house, don't they? I mean, they just demolish it. It's dramatic. They come up with different ways to do it. Sometimes they'll bomb it. Sometimes they'll get cranes in there and just crush it. And they just wipe it all away. And they start with a clean slate, don't they? And what happens every one of those shows when they're demolishing that old house? The family's excited. They're cheering. I mean, everyone's excited. Wow, the old, the mess, the place that was infested, the place that had mold, the place that was broken, the place that was just holding us back and causing all of these issues or contributing to them in our lives is getting destroyed. It's getting removed. And they could think, oh no, where are we going to live? What's going to happen? But they know what's going to happen. They understand that a brand new home is going to be built there. An amazing new place for them. This is what God has in store for His bride, for the church. It's going to be an extreme makeover. Destruction is necessary for the beauty to come and for the new to come. And it's all good. Because Jesus will not bring His bride into a house full of sin and brokenness. He's going to bring her home to a place of peace, of joy, where all things have been made new. Where, again, as we read in Revelation 21:4, where He will wipe away every tear from our eyes. Where there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. Because the old order of things, that old house, that broken down house that was infested, is gone. It's been removed. And the judgments are what the Lord is going to use to bring forth this new heaven and this new earth. It's the judgments in that great tribulation time that the Lord is going to use. in order to wipe and remove that old place so that He can bring that new heaven and that new earth. So that He can dwell with us, walk with us again. Where we can see Him face to face. Where all things are new. All things are beautiful. So you see, the judgments, they're good. They're good. Because God is good. You see, the judgments are good because God is good. And because His plan is perfect. And it really is amazing. It's bigger and more epic than any movie you've ever seen. Would you stand with me? I'd like to stand just for a moment. I'd like you to pray this after me, if you feel comfortable with it. This is your heart. Just pray this after me. Then the gentlemen are going to hand out communion elements, and you can be seated when those are coming out. And we're going to celebrate and remember the Lord Jesus, what He's done for us, and what He yet has in store for us, His people. If you feel comfortable, if you just want to pray this after me, just say, Lord, You are perfect. Your ways are just. Your plans are amazing. I trust You. Thank You for Your willingness to remove everything that hinders love. Thank You for loving me that much. I love You. You may be seated.